118. The Weight of It All. These void bringers know no songs. They cannot hear Roshar, and where they go, they bring silence. They look soft with no shell, but they are hard. They have but one heart, and it cannot ever live. From the Aayla Steeley. No, Delinar whispered again, voice ragged as the thrill thrummed inside of him. No, you were wrong. Odium gripped Dalinar's shoulder. What does she say? She? He heard Evie crying, screaming, begging for her life as the flames took her. Don't blame yourself, Odium said as Dalinar winced. I made you kill her, Dalinar. I caused all of this. Do you remember? I can help. Here. Memories flooded Dalinar's mind, a devastating onslaught of images. He lived them all in detail, somehow squeezed into a moment, the thrill raging inside of him. He saw himself stab a poor soldier in the back, a young man trying to crawl to safety, crying for his mother. I was with you then, Odium said. He killed a far better man than himself, a High Lord who had held Teleb's loyalty. Dalinar knocked him to the ground, then slammed a poleaxe into his chest. I was with you then. Dalinar fought atop a strange rock formation, facing another man who knew the thrill. Dalinar dropped him to the ground with burning eyes and called it a mercy. I was with you then. He raged at Gavilar, anger and lust rising as twin emotions. He broke a man in a tavern, frustrated that he'd been held back from enjoying the fight. He fought on the borders of Yakaved, laughing, corpses littering the ground. He remembered every moment of the carnage. He felt each death like a spike driven into his soul. He began to weep for the destruction. It's what you needed to do, Dalinar, Odium said. You made a better kingdom. So much pain. Blame me, Dalinar. It wasn't you. You saw red when you did those things. It was my fault. Accept that. You don't have to hurt. Dalinar blinked, meeting Odium's eyes. Let me have the pain, Dalinar, Odium said. Give it to me, and never feel guilty again. No, Dalinar hugged the Way of Kings close. No, I can't. Oh, Dalinar, what does she say? No. Have you forgotten? Here, let me help. And he was back in that day, the day he killed Evie. Zeth found purpose in wielding the sword. It screamed at him to destroy evil, even if evil was obviously a concept that the sword itself could not understand. Its vision was occluded, like Zeth's own, a metaphor. How was a twisted soul like his to decide who should die? Impossible. And so he put his trust in someone else, someone whose light peeked through the shadow. Dalinar Kholin, Night Radiant. He would know. This choice was not perfect, but stones unhallowed, it was the best he could manage. It brought him some small measure of peace as he swept through the enemy army. The sword screamed at him, "Destroy!" Anyone he so much as nicked popped into black smoke. Zeth laid waste to the red-eyed soldiers who kept coming, showing no fear, screaming as if they thirsted for death. It was a drink that Zeth was all too good at serving. He wielded Stormlight in one hand, lashing any men who drew too close, sending them flipping into the air or crashing backward into their fellows. With the other hand, he swept the sword through their ranks. He moved on nimble feet, his own body lashed upward just enough to lighten him. Skybreakers didn't have access to all of the lashings, but the most useful and most deadly were still his. Remember the gemstone. A phantom sense called to him, a desire to continue killing, to revel in the butchery. Zeth rejected it, sick. He had never enjoyed this. He could never enjoy this. The Voidbringer with the gemstone had slipped away, moving on two swift feet. Zeth pointed the sword, a piece of him terrified by how quickly it was chewing through his own stormlight, and lashed himself to follow. He plowed through soldiers, men bursting into smoke, seeking that one individual. The Voidbringer turned at the last moment, dancing away from his sword. Zeth lashed himself downward, then spun in a sweeping arc, towing black smoke, almost liquid, behind his sword as he destroyed men in a grand circle.
"Evil!"
the sword cried. Zeth leaped for the Voidbringer woman, but she dropped to the ground and slid on the stone as if it were greased. His sword swung over her head, and she pushed herself backward toward him, sliding right past his legs. There she swept gracefully to her feet and seized the sheath off Zeth's back, where he'd tied it for safekeeping. It broke free. When Zeth turned to attack, she blocked the sword with its own sheath. How had she done that? Was there something about the silvery metal that Zeth didn't know? She blocked his next few attacks, then ducked away from his attempts to lash her. The sword was growing frustrated.
"Destroy! Destroy! Destroy!"
Black veins began to grow around Zeth's hand, creeping toward his upper arm. He struck again, but she simply slipped away, moving across the ground as if natural laws had no purchase on her. Other soldiers piled in, and the pain started up Zeth's arm as he worked death among them.
Yasna stopped, one pace behind Renarin. She could hear his whispers clearly now. "Father! Oh, father!" The young man whipped his head in one direction, then another, seeing things that weren't there. "He sees, not what is, but what is to come," Ivory said. "Odium's power, Yasna."
"Taln," Ash whispered, kneeling before him. "Oh, Taln."
The herald stared forward with dark eyes.
"I am Talanel Elin, herald of war. The time of the return, the desolation is near at hand."
"Taln," Ash took his hand. "It's me. It's Ash."
"We must prepare. You will have forgotten much."
"Please, Taln."
"Kallak will teach you to cast bronze."
He just continued on, repeating the same words over and over and over.
Kaladin fell to his knees on the cold obsidian of Shadesmar. Fused descended around them, six figures in brilliant flapping clothing. He had a single slim hope. Each ideal he'd spoken had resulted in an outpouring of power and strength. He licked his lips and tried whispering it.
I will.
He thought of friends lost. Malop, Jax, Beld, and Pedin.
"Say it, Stormyu."
"I..."
Rod and Mart, bridgemen he'd failed, and before them slaves he'd tried to save. Goshal, Nalma, caught in a trap like a beast. A wind spren appeared near him, like a line of light, then another.
"A single hope. The words. Say the words."
"Oh, mother, oh, cultivation," Windle cried as they watched the assassin murder his way across the field. "What have we done?"
"We've pointed him away from us," Lift said, as she perched on a boulder, her eyes wide. "You'd rather he was close by?"
Windle continued to whimper, and Lift kinda understood. That was a lot of killing that the assassin did. Red-eyed men who seemed to have no light left in them, true, but storms. She'd lost track of the woman with the gemstone, but at least the army seemed to be flowing away from Zeth, leaving him fewer people to kill. He stumbled, slowing, then dropped to his knees.
"Uh-oh."
Lift summoned Windle as a rod in case the assassin lost his starvin' mind, what was left of it, and attacked her. She slipped off the rock, then ran over. He held the strange shard blade before himself. It continued to leak black liquid that vaporized as it streamed toward the ground. His hand had gone all black.
"I," Zeth said, "I have lost the sheath."
"Drop the sword."
"I can't,"
Zeth said, teeth gritted.
"It holds to me, feasting upon my stormlight. It will soon consume me."
"Storms, storms, storms, storms. Right, right. Lift looked around. The army was flooding into the city. The second stone monster was stomping across the ancient ward, stepping on buildings. Dalinar Kholin still stood before the gap. Maybe he could help? "Come on," Lift said.
"Kill the man," said the captain holding Navani.
He swept his hand toward old Kamakul, Fen's consort.
"We don't need him."
Fen screamed against her gag, but she was held tightly. Navani carefully wiggled her safe hand fingers out of her sleeve, then touched her other arm and the fabrial there, flipping a latch. Small knobs extended from the front of the device just above her wrist. Kamakul struggled to stand. He seemed to want to face his death with dignity, but the other two soldiers didn't give him that honor. They pushed him back against the wall, one pulling out a dagger. Navani seized the arm of the man holding her, then pressed the knobs of her pain fabrial against his skin. He screamed and dropped, writhing in agony. One of the others turned toward her, and she pressed the pain reel against his uplifted hand. She'd tested the device on herself, of course, so she knew what it felt like. 1,000 needles being shoved into your skin, under your nails, into your eyes. The second man wet himself as he dropped. The last one managed to cut a gash in her arm before she sent him to the ground, spasming. Bother. She flipped the switch on the pain reel, drawing away the agony of the cut. Then she took the knife and quickly cut Fen's bonds. As the queen freed Kamakul, Navani bound her painless wound.
"These will recover soon," Navani said. "We may need to dispatch them before that happens."
Kamakul kicked the man who had almost slit his throat, then cracked the door into the city. A troop of men with glowing eyes rushed past. The entire area was overrun with them.
"These are the least of our trouble, it seems," the aging man said, shutting the door.
"Back up to the wall, then," Fen said. "We might be able to spot friendly troops from that vantage."
Navani nodded, and Fen led the way up. At the top, they barred the door. There were bars on both sides. You wanted to be able to lock out enemies who had seized the wall, and also ones who had broken through the gates. Navani surveyed their options. A quick glance revealed that the streets were indeed held by Amaram's troops. Some groups of Thalans held ground farther up, but they were falling quickly.
"By Kalek, storms and passions alike," Kamakul said. "What is that?"
He'd noticed the red mist on the north side of the battlefield, with its horrific images forming and breaking apart. Shadows of soldiers dying, of skeletal features, of charging horses. It was a grand, intimidating sight. But Dalinar drew her eyes. Standing alone, surrounded by enemy soldiers, and facing something she could just barely sense, something vast, something unimaginable, something angry.
Dalinar lived in two places. He saw himself crossing a darkened landscape, dragging his shard blade behind him. He was on the field at Thalen City with Odium, but he was also in the past, approaching Rathalas, urged on by the boiling red anger of the thrill. He returned to the camp, to the surprise of his men, like a spren of death, coated in blood, eyes glowing, glowing red. He ordered the oil brought. He turned toward a city where Evie was imprisoned, where children slept, where innocent people hid and prayed and burned glyph wards and wept. "Please," Dalinar whispered in Thalen City, "don't make me live it again."
"Oh, Dalinar," Odium said, "you will live it again and again until you let go. You can't carry this burden. Please, give it to me. I drove you to do this. It wasn't your fault."
Dalinar pulled the Way of Kings close against his chest, clutching it like a child with his blanket in the night. But a sudden flash of light blasted in front of him, accompanied by a deafening crack. Dalinar stumbled backward. Lightning. That had been lightning. Had it struck him? No. It had somehow struck only the book. Burned pages fluttered around him, singed and smoldering. It had been blasted right from his hands. Odium shook his head.
"The words of a man long dead, long failed."
Overhead, the sun finally passed behind the clouds of the storm and all fell into darkness. Slowly, the flames of the burning pages went out. Teft huddled someplace dark. Maybe the darkness would hide his sins. But in the distance, he heard shouting, men fighting, Bridge 4 dying. Kaladin stuttered, the words stumbling. He thought of his men from Amaram's army, Dalet and his squad, slain either by Shallan's brother or by Amaram. Such good friends who had fallen. And then, of course, he thought of Tien. Dalinar fell to his knees. A few glory sprens swirled around him, but Odium batted them away and they faded. In the back of his mind, the Stormfather wept. He saw himself step up to where Evie was imprisoned. That tomb in the rock. Dalinar tried to look away, but the vision was everywhere. He didn't merely see it, he lived it. He ordered Evie's death and listened to her screams.
"Please."
Odium wasn't done with him. Dalinar had to watch the city burn, hear the children die. He gritted his teeth, groaning in agony. Before, his pains had driven him to drink. There was no drink now, just the thrill. He had always craved it. The thrill had made him live. Without it, he'd
been dead.
He slumped, bowing his head, listening to the tears of a woman who had believed in him. He'd never deserved her. The Stormfather's weeping faded as Odium somehow shoved the spren away, separating them. That left Dalinar alone.
"So alone."
"You're not alone, Dalinar," Odium said, going down on one knee beside him.
"I'm here. I've always been here."
The thrill boiled within, and Dalinar knew. He knew he'd always been a fraud. He was the same as Amaram. He had an honest reputation, but was a murderer on the inside, a destroyer, a child killer.
"Let go," Odium whispered.
Dalinar squeezed his eyes shut, trembling, hands tense as he hunched over and clawed the ground. It hurt so badly to know that he'd failed them. Navani, Adolin, Elokar, Gavilar. He couldn't live with this. He couldn't live with her tears.
"Give it to me," Odium pled.
Dalinar ripped his fingernails off, but the pain of the body couldn't distract him. It was nothing beside the agony of his soul, of knowing what he truly was. Zeth tried to walk toward Dalinar. The darkness had grown up his arm, and the sword drank his last wisps of stormlight.
"There was a lesson in this, wasn't there? There had to be. Nin wanted him to learn."
He fell to the ground, still holding the sword as it screamed mindlessly.
"Destroy evil!"
The little radiant girl scrambled to him. She looked toward the sky as the sun vanished behind clouds. Then she took Zeth's head in her hands.
No,
he tried to croak.
It will take you too.
She breathed life into him somehow, and the sword drank of it freely. Her eyes went wide as the black veins began to grow up her fingers and hands. Renarin didn't want to die, but strangely he found himself welcoming Jasnah's strike. Better to die than to live to see what was happening to his father. For he saw the future. He saw his father in black armor, a plague upon the land. He saw the Blackthorn return, a terrible scourge with nine shadows. Odium's champion.
He's going to fall, Renarin whispered. He's already fallen. He belongs to the enemy now.
Dalinar Cordlin is no more.
Venli shivered on the plain, near Odium. Timber had been pulsing to peace, but now she quieted. 20 or 30 yards away, a figure in white clothing collapsed to the ground, a little girl at his side. Nearer to her, Dalinar Cordlin, the man who had resisted, slumped forward, head bowed, holding one hand against his chest and trembling. Odium stepped back, his appearance that of a parchment with golden carapace.
It is done,
he said, looking toward Venli and the gathered group of fused.
You have a leader. We must follow one of them?
Tarash asked.
A human.
Venli's breath caught. There had been no respect in that tone. Odium smiled.
You will follow me, Tarash, or I will reclaim that which gives you persistent life. I care not for the shape of the tool, only that it cuts.
Tarash bowed his head. Stone crunched as a figure in glittering shard plate walked up to them, carrying a shard blade in one hand and, strangely, an empty sheath in the other. The human had his faceplate up, exposing red eyes. He tossed the silvery sheath to the ground.
I was told to deliver that to you. Well done, Meridas,
Odium said.
Aberay, could you provide this human with an appropriate housing for Yelignar?
One of the fused stepped forward and proffered a small, uncut smokestone toward the human, Meridas.
And what is this?
Meridas asked.
The fulfillment of my promise to you, Odium said. Swallow it.
What?
If you wish for the promised power, ingest that. Then try to control the one who follows. But be warned, the queen at Kolinar tried this, and the power consumed her.
Meridas held up the gemstone, inspecting it, then glanced toward Dalinar Cordlin.
So, you've been speaking to him all this time, too? Even longer than I've been speaking to you. Can I kill him? Someday. Assuming I don't let him kill you.
Odium rested his hand on the shoulder of the huddled Dalinar Cordlin.
It's done, Dalinar. The pain has passed. Stand up and claim the station you were born to obtain.
Kaladin thought, finally, of Dalinar. Could Kaladin do it? Could he really say these words? Could he mean them? The fused swept close. Adolin bled.
You know what you need to do.
I can't,
Kaladin finally whispered, tears streaming down his cheeks.
I can't lose him. But, oh, Almighty, I can't save him.
Kaladin bowed his head, sagging forward, trembling. He couldn't say those words. He wasn't strong enough. Syl's arms enfolded him from behind, and he felt softness as her cheek pressed against the back of his neck. She pulled him tight as he wept, sobbing at his failure.
Yasna raised her blade over Renarin's head. Make it quick. Make it painless. Most threats to a dynasty came from within. Renarin was obviously corrupted. She'd known there was a problem the moment she'd read that he had predicted the Everstorm. Now Yasna had to be strong. She had to do what was right, even when it was so hard. She prepared to swing, but then Renarin turned and looked at her. Tears streaming down his face, he met her eyes, and he nodded. Suddenly they were young again. He was a trembling child, weeping on her shoulder for a father who didn't seem to be able to feel love. Little Renarin, always so solemn, always misunderstood, laughed at, and condemned by people who said similar things about Yasna behind her back. Yasna froze, as if standing at the edge of a cliff. Wind blew through the temple, carrying with it a pair of spren in the form of golden spheres, bobbing in the currents. Yasna dismissed her sword. Yasna, Ivory said, appearing back in the form of a man, clinging to her collar. Yasna fell to her knees, then pulled Renarin into an embrace. He broke down crying, like he had as a boy, burying his head in her shoulder.
What's wrong with me? Renarin asked. Why do I see these things? I thought I was doing something right with Gliss, but somehow it's all wrong.
Hush, Yasna whispered. We'll find a way through it, Renarin. Whatever it is, we'll fix it. We'll survive this somehow. Storms, the things he'd said about Dalinar.
Yasna, Ivory said, becoming full size as he stepped free of her collar. He leaned down. Yasna, this is right. Somehow it is.
He seemed completely stunned.
It is not what makes sense, yet it is still right. How? How is this thing?
Renarin pulled back from her, his tear-stained eyes going wide.
I saw you kill me.
It's all right, Renarin. I'm not going to.
But don't you see? Don't you understand what that means?
Yasna shook her head.
Yasna, Renarin said. My vision was wrong about you. What I see, it can be wrong.
Alone. Dalinar held a fist to his chest. So alone. It hurt to breathe, to think. But something stirred inside his fist. He opened bleeding fingers. The most important. Inside his fist, he somehow found a golden sphere, a solitary glory spren. The most important step a man can take. It's not the first one, is it? It's the next one. Always the next step, Dalinar. Trembling, bleeding, agonized, Dalinar forced air into his lungs and spoke a single, ragged sentence. You cannot have my pain.